morning all in Hungary. Department of Transport under the leadership of Dr. Shishi, members of parliament, functionaries of parliament, you are all welcome. We normally have to look through the budget review and recommendation report of the portfolio committee and see if we can be able to agree to the report, or there are other issues that we believe we should be able to remove. I am subject to your guidance and leadership, but we have said that probably the report should be sent to members so that today when we deal with the report, we look at the critical areas where we have to amend, where we have to correct, where we can be able to deal with the things that we believe don't need to be part of the report or must be included in the report. In the past 2 years, we have been dealing with the report page by page. I depend on you as to how must we deal with this report, whether to take it through page by page, or members have already read, that they are able to say on this page, this is what I believe should be able to happen. I depend on you. My proposal was going to be that members have read through the report and then can be able to raise issues. But what becomes critical is what we have observed as a portfolio committee and what we are recommending as the portfolio committee. Those are, to me, the critical issues that we can really have ample time to deal with. But I put it to you to say I stand to be advised. Honorable members.
I've put two options for the people that I take the report as right, and then members can be able to indicate where they need to be, that there should be a filter. That's the first option that I have put forward. The second option is that we need to go page by page, and then members are able to say this is what they need.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I propose that we go page by page so that we avoid unnecessary challenges. I propose that we go page to page so that we avoid unnecessary challenges.
Yeah, when I last back, it's not city to city, it's page by page, not page to page, city to city.
Sorry, page by page one.
That's the proposal, that we go page by page. Honorable Kako.
Thanks, Chair. I was to propose, as Honorable Sibande has proposed, but I was also to say, can there be someone who's talking to the report as we deal with it? Thank you.
Honorable Ramatakan.
I know that, thank you, Chair. I know that I'm now on my own here. My proposal may not be seconded. I'm on my own. But let me make the point anyway. I thought it would be better if we could deal more with the observation section of the report, and of course then we deal with the the pages from there going down, because there's observation will lead us into some findings and the recommendations. That everything else before page 75 is take it as read. That is, but now I know that that's a minority view in this case. But if we were to say that we go page by page, from page 1 to page 137, we need a lot of time to sit in a meeting to go through that proposal. But I'm not necessarily shooting it down, I'm on my own, I'm just commenting that this document is extraordinarily long. So if we were to take it that way, it would take a couple of meetings and intense discussion. That's my signature.
Honorable Ramatakana has come with another proposal that we go to page, so we start from page 75 observations, and then we proceed. Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm seconding Honorable Ramatakana, because if there is any critical matter that we have to deal with, at our observation, we can see what is there also from the document to the recommendation. I think that from observation to recommendation.
Okay.
Sir, I have no problem with that, because we can make reference to the other pages. We can start with page 75 with the recommendation. We will, of course, make reference to the other pages. So I have no problem.
Mr. Sibanda, you are on your own. You are on your own. Madam has withdrawn. I think it's a fair proposal. I'll request Advocate Mel to lead us in the discussions.
Thank you, Chair. The reason why the document is quite lengthy is because we've tried to incorporate the past 4 years. It's also because, at least up until page 49, members will see that this is kind of a template of a BRRR. This is the same information every time. So your introduction, mandate of the committee, the method, the mandate of the department, the contract of the minister with the president, the priorities of the department, those are all things that are in the department document that has been presented. It's been repeated over several years. And the information is also taken from the annual reports of the department. So I just want to get to my one page. Members will see where we pulled the financial statements. We've also gone, that'll be page 52. We've gone and looked at from 2013-14, just to show the financials from there throughout to the current one, which is 3.3, page 37, which is the 2017-18 one. And that information is taken from both the annual report as well as the information that our research section has already provided members. So it's just an assessment of the status of the report. The next one I just want to bring members' attention to is 46.4, page 45. An indication that was taken from the annual report by the department on the measures that they've put in place to prevent and or detect irregular expenditure. It is a carbon copy from what they presented to the committee last year. So the 2016-17 is the same as 2017-18 word for word, and 2016-17 was the same as 15-16. The members will just keep this in mind when we get towards the recommendations, because we also highlighted this last year, and we've indicated that either they are not implementing these steps to prevent irregular expenditure, or something is wrong, either with the wording or the monitoring of this. So we might have to just strengthen the committee's recommendation in the end to make sure that they can actually meet those targets, because their audit has also not changed over the past 4 years. Then on page 47, 3.7 is the findings of the AG. That has already been presented to the members. And then from the chapter 4, the overview and assessment of the program performance, is also taken from the annual report as well as what our research section has provided. So members can quickly just page through that. Members will see the assessments of the targets set and the targets achieved in some instances might differ from what the department presented, but this is based on our assessment of the wording of the targets and whether or not it was actually achieved according to the wording. Then on page 56, the human resource management aspects were also taken from the annual report as well as our research section. From pages 58 up to page 75, chapter 6. I've decided to include it in here, but members can guide whether or not we need to keep it. This is the summary of reporting requests as reported by the department in their annual report, indicating what the committee had requested of them last year in the BRRR and where they are in the process of completing those. So members will see in some instances where the committee would have set a target for report back, that'll be page 68, for example, the committee had requested a report back by 15 December from the department, and the department there had indicated in their annual report that they'd only submitted that report back by the 17th of April 2018. So members can either take this as noting in terms of a delay of report back, or that we might need to change our deadline in terms of the time that we put in our towards chapter 9 and 10 of the BRRR. We might have to give them more time if they've taken more than 3 months to meet our deadline set there. Then the observation starts on page 75. The observations is a compilation of the dates by when the annual reports were submitted, as well as the letters provided by the ministry why ATNS was not presented and is still not before the committee, and why PRASA was late. This is also including comments made by the AG in its consolidated report, and then comments made by the committee during the meetings. If members had taken a look, my focus would rather want to be on when we get to chapter 8, because the observations were in the committee. If members would like me to read word for word, it might also take a while to go from here. But just to outline, it's when the annual reports were received, which ones were tabled late, the letter from ATNS. Unfortunately, the letter points out that it would be submitted by 31 September. I think that might have been a typo. The department may have wanted to indicate 31 October because September only has 30 days. Then there's an indication on process tabling of the old report as well as the new report. Then the committee's view regarding the regression in the reporting outcomes linked to what the AGSA has submitted. The continued clear or clean or unqualified audit with no findings by ports regulator and SACA, as noted. The qualified audits by PRASA and what would then be ACNS's one in the end, once received, is noted. We do a round off in terms of the department and its entities with the various findings. We indicate the key areas of material non-compliance on page 77. Members might feel like it's a deja vu experience because a lot of what we've indicated here is the same as the previous years. Even from the recommendations, members will see there's a lot of repetition based on our old ERRRs. The committee did note that there were some improvements, however concluded that the department and its entities had not been able to clear repeat findings. That was also noted by the AG. The committee's view that the department should focus more attention on ensuring action plans are implemented to address prior year audit findings. Vacancies need to be filled. Accountability of government spending at SOEs is an area that is receiving attention in the public. We have noted here as well that it's been a concern for the committee, but that the minister has in this year brought in the directorate that oversees the entities. Unfortunately, we can't expand too much on that because this BRRR is focused on the annual report of last year, when that directorate has not yet been in place. It's the same why members will not see a lot of reference in this report regarding the safety report and the issues that were raised between RSR and PRASA last week, because those issues were from this financial year. So that will be an aspect that we can bring out in our budget report and the APPs and strat plans next year, and then it'll come in for the next Parliament term budget review consideration. Irregular expenditure was noted again with the weaknesses in supply chain management. There is a note on page 79 regarding the AG's opinion that as long as the political leadership, senior management and officials do not make accountability for transgressions of priority, irregular, unauthorized and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as fraud and misconduct will continue. These are all matters that the committee had pointed out. We went into specifics with the various entities, but this from 79 up to, let me get my page, from 79 up to 91 are only those entities that appeared before the committee. We did make note further down when we get to the AG findings, we covered all the entities, regardless whether they were before the committee or not. We pointed out the issues and the aspects that the AG raised with some of them. On CBRTA, the financial stability remains a key challenge. There's a non-adjustment of permit tariffs on an annual basis that was a concern. The agency remains in a state of technical insolvency that was discussed by members. Another key challenge relates to the ongoing impasse relating to the Free State and Kingdom of Lesotho corridor. We've added those aspects that they've indicated have assisted throughout the year, but this still remains a concern because it's still an issue that is unresolved. So also still looks quite familiar to last year's BRRR. The agency experienced a number of vacancies in the board. The Department of Transport has been made aware of those and they are in the process of filling the vacancies. The year under review, we have the revenue increase there. We're touching on the Constitutional Court judgment regarding the tariff increase and how that affects the spend of the CBRTA. And then we also link their new activities. So this section is not just focused on the bad. We try to focus on some of the good as well as the bad that was reported through by the entities. And then our last bullet points always refer in the entities to their audit opinions. So during the reporting period, CBRTA received an unqualified audit with findings. While they should be commended for achieving an unqualified audit, it should address the concerns raised by the AG as well, which is members always saying that they should all strive for that unqualified with no findings or clean audit. Under RAF, we focus on the financial strain again. They remain severely undercapitalized with liabilities exceeding assets. They had outstanding claims that we noted. They received 90.9% of their annual performance targets, which is also one of the highest ones. The only entity that met all their targets was SACA. During the period under review, the RF regressed and received unqualified audit opinion with findings. Notwithstanding the financial challenges that have beset the RAF for decades, there is hope that the RAF's bill that's currently before Parliament will usher in possible major positive amendments to the current unreasonable and equitable, unaffordable and unsustainable dispensation. On the railway safety regulator, we focused on their targets and their achievements. Their cash flow remained a cause of concern for the better part of the year. They have unfunded accruals, under recovery of budget revenues, and under recovery of technology review fees. To address those challenges, we indicated that the RSR is taking a frugal approach in preparing their budget for next year, and it's informed by their recovery plan. They received an unqualified audit opinion with the material findings, and while they should be commended for that, they should strive to improve. Going on to Artea, they've achieved 87.5% of their targets. Challenges experienced, as they indicated, was with revenue collection in the issuing of the ARCA freeze, as well as the total of the agency's revenue collected during the period increased by 17.8% compared to the previous year. The agency has continued with analyzing road traffic environment with a view towards developing innovative interventions to increase road safety. They have also undertaken research to develop the framework for rehabilitation of drivers in partnership with other stakeholders, such as NICRO, Department of Correctional Services, in anticipation of the bill to be finalized. Their main challenges experienced were deficiencies brought about by the current legislative framework. ARTO is currently still being processed before the NCOP. At the close of the reporting period, the agency realized a cash surplus of 133 million. They submitted a request for retention of the surplus funds at the end of the financial year and are awaiting approval from Treasury. And during the year under review, they regressed to an unqualified audit opinion with findings. The committee still requests them to ensure that they comply with the AG's findings. SAMHSA, during the period under review, they set themselves 16 targets, achieved 11. Their number of annual performance targets was similar to the previous years. The committee noted with concern that they received a qualified audit for the second year in a row. While they achieved 68.7% of their targets, it is noted that the entity should ensure it achieves all its targets. They should put more effort into complying with applicable legislation and dealing with internal control deficiencies. More importantly, the appointment of SAMHSA CEO should be expedited so that consequence management against officials who incur or permit irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure are held to account. Under PRASA, unfortunately, the entity that performed the worst, they achieved a 21% meet of their targets. They focus on the concerns of the main line passenger services or the long distance passenger service line. We add aspect there on auto packs regarding the size of the fleet and the fact that they only operated 90, but it was improved towards 190 towards the end of the year. The PRASA Group has a number of years experienced cash flow problems. The accumulated funding shortfall stood at 5.2 billion, and it's an untenable situation that demands drastic measures and immediate intervention. We mention the proposal by PRASA for the Get On Track recovery plan, and that they've 10 targeted interventions to arrest the current decline in business performance, organizational stability and proper governance, fixing misalignment, driving efficiencies and effectiveness, and fast-tracking modernization. Filling of critical vacancies is crucial to succeed. The group's performance against the predetermined objectives was 21%. It's indicative of an organization that is struggling to meet its performance objectives. Comparing this to last year, where they achieved more than 55%. Compounding the negative performance of the business has been the sustained leadership instability, which has seen 7 group CEOs, including 4 boards, at the helm of the organization. On page 90, the below then acceptable performance requires special interventions, and the rescue plan will hopefully ensure that this is done. The committee noted with concern that they received a qualified audit for the second year in a row. Unfortunately, because of the late submission of the 2016-17, so close to 17-18, there's not much that PROSA could have done, or at least the PROSA board that's currently there could have done to change that finding, compared to the other entities that had a bit more stability and functionality. Noting the instabilities indicated, the 2016-17 report was only tabled on 7th September 2018, nearly a year later than it was due, so we could not have expected much of a change. The performance of 21% is unacceptable, and the entity should work towards achieving all of their targets. On SANRAL, we touch on the development of their Horizon 2030 project. We indicate that they had to transfer an amount of 1,667 million from the non-toll business to the toll road portfolio. They also transferred an amount in order to cover the GFIP, and that was in addition to the special grant of 406 million. At an operational level, it was a complex year. They had several capital projects, and a lot of those projects had to be put on the back burner because of the funding concerns. That is why their spending was quite lower compared to the previous year. SANRAL had set itself 35 targets, met 31. They received an unqualified audit opinion of findings for the fourth year running. Though they should be commended for having received unqualified as opposed to a qualified audit, they should attend to the findings of the AG for the fear that they may regress towards a qualified audit in the coming year. The ministry must urgently seek to achieve finality regarding GFIP funding model, and the agency should ensure that it achieves all its targets. 7.1, members, is an extract from the AG's consolidated report. So this is all those aspects that the AG presented during their meeting that was not that very short summarized slide. This is the expanded format of that. So they show in 7.121 the auditees that regressed, and they say they highlight the issues there mainly on SCM non-compliance. The auditees that remained unchanged, we see a lot of non-compliance with PFMA in these aspects that they've highlighted here for SANRAL. For AXA, who we did not see, but we have to note those issues. For the driver license card account, which we also unfortunately have not seen because it's more run like an account under the department than a single standing entity. And they also make a note on the department regarding their non-compliance with PFMA requirements, as well as some material amendments that they had to make. Railway safety regulator had an over expenditure on contract without the necessary approval. Under 7.1.2.3, the auditees that remain unchanged, we give a bit more information on SAMHSA's findings as well as PRASA's findings. PRASA's one is quite lengthy. For SAMHSA's one, again, we have the irregular expenditure, we have the non-compliance with the PFMA, the struggle to get proper audit evidence supplied to the AG. For PRASA, the concern was assets, the asset register not being reliable, complete fair revenue, that the system was not operating for part of the year, the receivables regarding irrecoverable receivables and irregular expenditure, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The financial statements were not submitted according to PSMA requirements. They did not take effective steps to prevent irregular and fruitless wasteful expenditure. We also touch on appropriate evidence that's not submitted. Contracts being awarded based on preference points that were not allocated. Quotations awarded to bidders that did not score the highest. All those SCM concerns are highlighted there, as well as the recurring theme of disciplinary steps that are not taken. 7.13 is key matters that the AG highlighted. On the going concerns, we touch on the Road Accident Fund, SANRAL and PRASA. Regarding governance and oversight, the department together with the executive authority should ensure that the boards and audit committees for entities within the portfolio are capacitated with members who have the appropriate skills. Members kept on asking if the people on the boards have the correct skills and experience to ensure effective governance. This also includes the appointments of heads of the entity, the CEO, and other key management personnel that are needed. Then in 7133, we just point out the AG's concerns regarding the vacancies on boards and audit risk committees. 7134 is the key personnel vacancies, which includes the department's DDG post, as well as I just see here that we did not include the DG post here, but it is in one of our recommendations. We'll just add the DG as well as the DDGs. PRASA, AXA, DLCA, Road Accident Fund, SAMHSA 18S, RSRC, RRTA. That is shocking, but it is almost all of the entities too. 7.2, significant emphasis of matters. With regard to the department, financial statements, corresponding figures for March were restated as a result of an error in the financial statements, and irregular expenditure was incurred as a result of officials not always following prescribed procurement procedures. If members reflect to last year's BRRR, this, apart from the dates differing, where it was 2016 and 2017, it's exactly the same. 7.3, material misstatements. With regard to the department, the financial statements submitted for auditing were not prepared according to the PSMA. We have similar concerns there with the entities that have been highlighted. 7.4, procurement and contract management. It's the PSMA non-compliance that we included in there. 7.5, the predetermined objectives. In general, the AG commented on the majority of the annual reports that some concerns regarding over and under achievement of set targets. Management in the department as well as the entity should ensure that it's possible to validate the processes and systems that produce the indicator to enable them to produce the required evidence at the end of the day. We did not have that many concerns regarding the actual targets that were set. The main concern was how they actually proved that they had met those targets. For 7.6 is the concerns regarding compliance with legislation. That will be your PFMA, as well as the internal SCM policies that need to be adhered to, as well as Treasury regulations that are linked with the PFMA. On internal control deficiencies, this is where we touch on the vacancies, both in the department, the key posts, as well as the boards. Along with internal control deficiencies comes record-keeping concerns and evidentiary concerns when they have to report to the AG. The committee requested that the department ensure, within the department as well as its entities, all funded and critical posts are filled as soon as possible. The committee further noted the lack of effective controls to ensure compliance with internal policies. 7.8, on the financial health of the entities, specific concerns were raised for SANRAL and RAF. Although CBRTA, Ports Regulator, and PRASA were also of a concern to the AG. the financial health of the various entities as well as their abilities to execute their mandates, in part affected by the delays in processing of legislation and regulations by the department. The committee continues to reiterate as a repeat observation that the department should work with an increased sense of urgency in finalizing the required legislation and regulations in order to improve the performance of its entities. On the investigations, this is more of a focus specifically to the department's investigations. We do also note the PRASA one that was of a high concern to the committee. Stated its concern regarding the long delays in finalization of investigations and some of those that were before the public protector or other various institutions. With regard to the department, 4 internal investigations were still in progress on related matters to procurement and contract management, and those outcomes are expected in the next financial year. Our specific concern was PRASA's investigations and the massive budget spent on the investigation process, with little results being reported to date. The committee requested that the department brief the committee on the state of affairs of investigations related to the department as well as the entities. 7.10, policy and implementation concerns. Although its engagements with the department and its entities, the committee has noted concern that policy regarding transport portfolio resides with the Department of Transport and the implementation thereof by some state-owned entities resides with the Department of Public Enterprises. This, for example, is the concern we note between the correlation with Transnet. The concerns raised regarding the implementation of Ports Regulator of South Africa functions within the sphere of operations management by Ports Authority and then PRASA and Transnet. On Chapter 8, members, 8.1 is a copy of our budget vote report, the observations. So I'm not going to repeat those. Those have already been adopted and reported on. We place it in the BRRR to show that the committee has been addressing the same concerns throughout the year, even though this for the budget report it would have been the year after the annual report, as well as 8.12, which is the recommendations from the budget report. Then 8.2 is also those observations and recommendations from the strategic plan and APP. Also to note where the committee required and requested that they make sure that there's clarity on their targets, that they can meet their targets, that they fill the vacancies. 8.3 is recommendations made by the AG for this BRRR year. This is information also taken from the consolidated report as well as the presentation that the AGSA made. These are specific, the first ones to maintaining the clean audit. I just see there's a, should be PR, Ports Authority. I'll fix that one acronym there next to SACA. I see the AGSA included CBRTA here for the clean audit. I'll just take that. That's taken out of their heading because what they presented was different. The recommendations is to produce financial statements that are free from material misstatements, measure and report on their performance in accordance with predetermined objectives in their performance plan, implement measures to ensure compliance with key applicable legislation, implement stringent financial management principles and controls, display strong leadership in assuring corrective action, and implement effective governance structures. With those that had qualified and unqualified with findings, it is quite similar to the previous one. Produce financial statements that are free of material misstatements, implement controls to prevent and detect errors, set clear performance indicators that are smart, provide sufficient and appropriate evidence to support performance, implement policies, procedures, and controls to ensure compliance, implement review and monitoring of compliance with legislation, implement consequence management. The root causes for entities with negative outcomes, with a key management post that are vacant or filled with staff in acting positions, which contributes to a lack of accountability. The governance structures in some of the entities are not fully constituted, which results in ineffective oversight. where an action plan had been put in place, it was not monitored at the appropriate level, and the lack of progress was not escalated. There's also a slow response in addressing ongoing deficiencies with compliance to laws and regulations. Some entities lack discipline of ensuring that internal controls to ensure accurate and complete financial reporting and compliance. 8314 is those four bullet points that the AG presented on their slide. They've recommended that the appointment of boards and other governance structures are done to ensure they are fully constituted with members with appropriate skills and experience. Management of vacancies to ensure stability and leadership. Progress on action plans should be put in place, and performance and consequence management should also apply. Overall, the portfolio committee should obtain the commitments from the executive authority, accounting officers and accounting authority that an adequate action plan is in place to address the AG findings. The committee should obtain commitments from the executive authority in stabilizing the boards and governance structures of BRASA, AXA and SAMHSA. Then they also list additional aspects for each of the entities that the committee should follow up in their recommendations. These are quite similar for each of the entities, so I'm going to ask members just to page over those once it is in the consolidated AG report. And then at 8.4, we finally get to the committee's recommendations for this BRRR. Nearly finished, members, but this is a long list of a lot of similar recommendations from previous years. 8.41, the advertising and filling of critical vacant posts should be prioritized in the department and the affected entities. Yeah. It's been a repeated recommendation over numerous years, and the department with its entities must present a workable plan or strategy that will allow for the filling of the vacancies. The committee undertook to make a special resolution in the meeting of 17 October to request specific and immediate action within 48 hours from the ministry regarding the filling of the CBRTA board vacancies that are within the ambit of the ministry, bearing in mind that the status of these had been reported as being in the process of shortlisting as at 5 June. 8.43, the department should strengthen its oversight over the entities and report on progress made to remedy all matters raised by the AG. Effective steps should be implemented to prevent irregular expenditure. Officials who cause the department and its entities to incur these expenditures should be subjected to the appropriate measures provided for in terms of sections 81 and 86 of the PFMA. These sections define financial misconduct and lays down the procedures for disciplining public officials guilty of financial misconduct. It also includes provisions for criminal prosecution in cases of gross financial misconduct. The department should also ensure that proper record keeping be implemented for information, supporting compliance and procurement processes. The department and entities should capacitate their finance and SEM departments with appropriate skilled and competent personnel to prepare credible financial statements. Furthermore, management should ensure that information used to prepare these statements are accurate and reliable. Staff, we did mention this one previously, but hopefully we can get it through stronger to the department this year. Staff should be retrained and reskilled to ensure that they comply with legislation. Therefore, in order to highlight the seriousness of this matter and in a further effort to ensure that this is not a repeat finding again next year, the department and its entities must ensure that all officials responsible for reporting in terms of the PFMA undergo training on compliance with the PFMA, as well as refresher training on the applicable National Treasury regulations and the King Code 4. Control processes should be adhered to in the SCM processes. The department should establish a task team to identify and address inefficiencies in SCM, as well as in the department and the entities. There should be consequences for poor performance and failure to comply with the legislation. The AG's recommendations, which address identified root causes, should be implemented. The department should develop funding plans to ensure the financial sustainability of the entities and should provide the committee with quarterly updates on strategies to improve the financial health status and reduction of instances where the liabilities exceed total assets of most urgently SANRAL and RAF, as there was uncertainty as to whether these entities would be able to fund their future obligations. Updates should also be provided on the notable concerns regarding liquidity remaining for CBRTA, Ports Regulator and PRASA, with the possible inclusion of AT&S once we receive the audit outcomes. The department should report back to the committee on a quarterly basis on its monitoring, tracking and engagement with its provincial and municipal counterparts on the implementation of the PRMG and other grants to ensure that money is used for its intended purposes, to ensure that there is value for money spent, and to prevent future need for rollovers as an extension of the two-way KPI. The department and its entities should ensure that the targets set in their strat plans and APPs going forward adhere to the SMART principles. The department should ensure that the budget allocation for projects is strengthened and realistic in order to reduce the high amounts of funds being transferred under environments. The department should develop an alternative investment attraction plan in order to make better use of public-private partnerships and promote the private sector participation in the funding options for various infrastructure projects, such as the Mulatto Corridor project and other major infrastructure projects planned by the department, as well as their municipal and provincial counterparts. The department should ensure that all board vacancies of entities are filled as a matter of urgency. The committee takes a dim view of the non-compliance and lack of tabling of annual reports in terms of sections 8 and 65 of the PFMA. The outstanding annual reports that are yet to be tabled before this committee are of a serious concern, especially as AT&S has in the past had numerous repeat findings issued by the auditors. The department should ensure and assist well in time where it is able to do so that all annual reports are submitted within the legislative timeframes of the AG as well as tabling before Parliament. The outstanding reports should be presented to the committee as soon as they are tabled and referred to the committee. It's recommended that the committee be given an opportunity to submit a supplementary report on the late received annual report that will be for AT&S, similar to what we requested last year for the three entities. The CBRTA should report to the committee regarding the draft joint agreement towards resolving the impasse regarding the cross-border movements of the Republic of South Africa to Lesotho, the Kingdom of Lesotho. The CBRTA should report to the committee regarding continued engagements on the implementation of the SADC protocol on transport communications and meteorology. SAMHSA should implement proper record keeping in the timely manner to ensure complete, relevant and accurate information accessible and available to support financial as well as performance reporting. SAMHSA should give the circumstances that gave rise to irregular expenditure. They should indicate whether it has taken any action against an official or officials who were involved in the expenditure, and they should indicate whether they put measures in place to ensure that the expenditure does not reoccur. SAMHSA should indicate also that the committee to the committee whether it has action plans to address the reasons for the qualified audit opinion. They should state to the committee how they intend to respond to each of the issues. They should review and monitor compliance with applicable legislation, and consequence management should be implemented, and the senior management of SAMHSA should exercise oversight responsibility regarding financial and performance reporting. Chapter 9, Summary of Reporting Requests. This is where we put the time frames, members, so we would need some indication from you whether or not we need to change the time frames, given the fact that the department was not able to meet all of the time frames that we set in the previous years. This is a copy of the ones that we proposed last year. The only ones that we have included here is extending the financial health status to cover all the entities that were of concern. And that is the second last one in that column. Paragraph 10 conclusion is the same as we did last year, and 11 is almost similar to last year, except that this year, unfortunately, we could only applaud the performance of two entities, Ports Regulator and SAHPRA. And then it's a nice long list of abbreviations used in the document to ensure that our readers understand the department's acronyms. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate Honorable Musinga.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me to just apologize for being late and also to greet everybody. Chair, a question in general. There are about 23 references in this document, acknowledging that it's a huge task to compile a document of this magnitude. And may I also add, with all due respect to the authors, it's quite exhausting to work through this. I tried to do it last night, and it's you get lost in the document in many ways. But the question specifically, Chair, is that there are 23 references to years dating back, financial years dating back to 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and so on. What is the purpose of referencing back to specifically 2013, 14 and the following years up to the current one? What is there a particular purpose for that which I couldn't find in the document, because in finding the repetition of that, one would think that there's a particular intent or purpose, because surely, you know, everything didn't start in 13, 14. There's a longer history which I've never previously have found any reference to. You know, I've, in the little experience that I had, which is like 3 years or 4 years, this is the fourth BRRR, there's always a focus on the current year which is under discussion in terms of review and recommendations for the report. So, direct question, is there any purpose in referencing so far back as 2013, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16? Because in the recommendations as such, there's no specific reference to financial elements or aspects that is repetitive in nature. The recommendations are very much operational. So, and that's where it becomes confusing, because the linkages that can be pointed out in going back to financial track record of 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16 and current, they are very useful linkages, but I don't see the recommendations picking up from that and driving a recommendation, a useful recommendation from that very valuable resource in history. And then the question, why only from 13, 14? Because certainly there's a track record very much longer than that. Thank you, Chair.
Is there any other chair? Honorable Musinga, I think when you look at the whole situation and of us going back to where we started, it doesn't include everything and everything, but it highlights the issues that were raised in the BRRRs of the previous years, which have not been addressed. And taking it from there, therefore, probably we may want to coin a recommendation which actually is an overarching to say, ever since we came, these are the issues that have been raised and these are the issues that have not been addressed to date by the department, because in essence, when you look at the issues that have been raised, are the issues that have not that has to be, still has to be addressed since 2013-14 financial year, as we dealt with the BRRR. But I'll allow advocate to talk to the matters.
Chair, the 13-14 is because the 13-14 annual report was the first report before this committee for this five-year term. But it is two pages that specifically goes that far back. The reason why we prefer to add it in is because it does make reference to the spend and the transfers regarding the provincial road management grant, which is a concern for the committee. It's been a concern for the committee for quite a while regarding how it's spent and how the department does oversight on that, as well as the Shamosonke Road Maintenance Project and the Public Transport Operations Grant. So it just gives an indication of the amount of money that has been transferred and the oversight that the committee has requested over the years. But it will help us to take away one or two pages if the committee requests to take it out, because I know we, in the recommendations specifically, we don't refer back to the spend. But in terms of the reporting framework, we have to have a section on the financials. So it does cause you to see a link between the spend and the allocation since the committee came in. Unfortunately, we are currently in the 18-19 year, and we did look at the budget and the APP for 18-19, but this committee will not be reporting next year on this annual report that's in the current financial year. So this will be number 5 from 14-15.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your explanation apart from our researchers' explanation. Just a remark, Chair, then if that is the case, I find it very useful and I find it very valuable. However, then something went very much lost when we started. Because if there's an intention to have a summary of a terms performance and progress, if you like, what happened to that in the previous term? Why didn't we link up with the last report of the previous term? Because there's a longer history of particular failures. And my general impression after really working through this whole document is that we are very kind in terms of recommendation and in terms of measures that we propose in order to correct some of these very repetitive failures in many entities. Just an appreciation for the fact that it's necessary to summarize, but then really it's saddening then to, you know, then there's this question, what happened to the last report of the previous term? Why didn't we as a committee pick up from that? Or is this the first time and an innovative approach to then summarize it this time, and it didn't happen previously, which I also have appreciation for.
Any other honorable members?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was checking at our recommendation. Sometimes I didn't see it, the challenge of the rural learners, the challenge that are facing by the rural learners, because I was at KwaZulu-Natal this weekend. The challenge that they are facing now is that the transport in KwaZulu-Natal are being operated by the Department of Basic Education, not by the transport. Now I'm trying to check, because they are facing a lot of challenges on issues of transporting of schools.
Honorable
Panza. Thank you, Chair. Also, my apologies for coming late, and nice to be back with the committee, and thanks for holding the fort while I was not well. Chairperson, I just want to check how are you planning to guide us in terms of making input? Because I thought my colleague was just raising a general observation, but I thought maybe there is going to be a process that you are guiding us on how are we going to be speaking to the document as it has been presented in terms of the recommendations and all those things. So that, for an example, I do have an area in terms of the recommendations, but I don't know whether it's in another page. Can I get that guidance first, Chair?
Honorable Member, let me also apologize for starting the meeting in your absence.
Okay.
Because when we started the meeting, we indicated that we will go directly to the recommendations.
Okay.
And if there are issues that members believe can be added or subjected, once the presentation has been made, you're so allowed to do that.
Oh.
And therefore, we will allow you to make additions or subtractions based on that.
Okay.
Continue, Honorable Member.
Thanks, Chair, and apology for starting in our absence. my colleague Msinga is protesting. He said, "I'm not speaking on his behalf." Chair, on the investigation, I've seen the page. Oh, okay, it's page 106. I don't see something that is talking about the termination of the Versman contract. I hear the fact that we are complaining about the endless investigation, which are also costly. But I think that was going to be associated with the issue of the contract itself. So I think if we can look at that one, because it has been an outcry for a long, long time. And then, Chair, on the last, the conclusion, under the appreciation 134 page, I think we should also extend our appreciation in terms of the good working relationship or relatively working relationship with the executive. Meaning the minister and the deputy minister. That would be just my input on that one, Chair.
Honourable Panza's request.
Thank you very much, Honourable Panza. I thought that you will be able to coin something that will be able to guide the functionaries on issues of Werksmann, because under consultancies they just generalize.
Mm.
But maybe you should be able to say under consultants,
okay,
we would like to highlight the procurement that went wrong in terms of the Werksmann issue. Remember, in your absence last week, we requested FRASA to furnish us with the contract, the service level agreement, the terms of reference of how it ended up appointing Werksmann. We agree that Werksmann has been appointed, but we want to see the contract, we also want to see the service level agreement and the terms of reference. We gave them, that was last week Wednesday, we gave them 48 working hours within which they should be able to finish us with that. 48 hours expired on Monday. Today, nothing has come from the department.
Mm.
And just an indication of what we said earlier, that we have been making recommendations, we have been requesting, because there are requests that we made that the department must correct this within this time frame, and those has never happened. We requested within 48 hours and nothing has happened within 48 hours. So if you can be able to assist the advocate and the team, Valerie and the team, to say, in terms of Werksmann, how would we as a committee want to see it featuring here in the report? Any other taker? Honorable Ramataka?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I think that I want to say that I agree with the structure of the report. I think it's a useful, much as it's long, but I think it will serve also as hand over to those that will come in as a legacy report after we have made a way for them. So that this is quite important from that point of view. It's a record. I think it's a record. Serve as a record of the last 4 years going forward. So I want to agree with that. And on the point that was raised by about Werksmann, by my colleague, I thought from our point of view, it was very clear we had a position that the Versman appointment was irregular. That point we have made. It has not been contested. The chair of the board made that point, but later realized that it was an incorrect point, that indeed what she said in the meeting was not accurate. It means, if you remember, she said Werksmann was taken from the list, from the existing roster of consultants or panel of lawyers. And then we contested that, that in fact is not true. It was just pulling the name out of the hat. Then we asked a number of things, including the race, including all of them who negotiated all of this. Later she did concede that she was in fact wrong about the perspective that it was proper appointment of legal firm. So I think on that point, and then we asked them to give us a contract, a copy of the contract, because we know it doesn't exist. We know that Werksmann is the only person that knows when their contract is going to expire, not the one that appointed them. So we then said we want this, in fact we were very specific. We said the continuation of the appointment of Werksmann continued to constitute irregular expense, of which the board, if the board condoned that action, they will be personally liable. Individual of those board members, knowing that this is wrong and they continue, they will be personally liable in terms of the KMFA. Now, I don't know whether I need to cite the section, but I think there is clear in terms of KMFA what you do in terms of the recovery. So I'm adding on the Honorable Panther's point that we must be clear that it is irregular, and of course the AG has also commented about that irregularity, and that it should be corrected. They are refusing to correct it. In fact, coupled to that, the B part of that, we said that long ago we said all of the investigation should be winded up. That was last July, and we handed over to the Hawks and the police to continue those investigations, which was a similar point that came out of the National Treasury. So we said, nobody says kill the, we say hand over all the things and the file over to this, this reluctance of handing over to the police of those files. So we said long ago, you don't have to pay all of this money because there's an agency that deals with this money. There are police that will do this, they are paid, their salary is paid. Why must you pay another salary of somebody who is not going to help you in court? You can only become... So I think there, we have two recommendations that we have made. We said terminate, well, we also said that handover of the case is over to the institution that are competent institution to deal with. So I want to agree with that, Chair, as a specific recommendation. I guess they're still not going to do it, but we would have done what we could do, because if we don't say so specifically, the AG will then come and give us a yellow and say assurances of the committee is not, we don't guarantee that this committee is up to the task. So I think that we should be very strong around that. Thank you, Chair, and there was something else that I'll come back.
Thank you. Any other taking? Let me indicate that besides what we have raised as in Werksmann, there is another company, Huntley, what? Maluleke Huntley? Whatever. Which is also now probably taking the space of Werksmann. appointed in a similar manner, which actually is a panel of lawyers that are supposed to be doing work. That also need to be taken into cognizance. But I also wanted to say that probably with PRASA, part of the things that we need to highlight is the fact that there is reduction in number of locomotives, in a number of coaches, and reduction also in passenger. That needs to be highlighted, and revenue. Reduction in revenue collection in passengers, in locomotives and coaches, which actually members so eloquently spoke to, and unfortunately, there was no clear and concise answers as to how this will be dealt with. And let me remind members that when we spoke to RSR, this is the third year where RSR has been saying PRASA does not comply with the prescripts in terms of their line of function. And I remember at some stages Honorable Sibande was just not happy about how the former CEO of RSR was talking, that they will be grounding the trains and so forth and so forth. That, to me, should be one of the issues that comes in as a building block towards, in the eventuality, those who will be here come 2018-19 annual, when they deal with the report of 2017-18, they should be able to say that it has been coming for 2 years. RSR has been complaining about non-compliance or malicious compliance with respect to PRASA. But within the same breath, we should be able to indicate that the manual signaling which RSR complained about in 2016-17 is increasing such that this, as the basis for 2017-18, will be able to say we see the collisions, we see the derailment based on the fact that RSR has been highlighting issues of safety, but focusing on the pairways, the manual signaling, and now it has led to us seeing this type of carnage which is happening in the rail industry. Any Honorable Ramatakana, Honorable Siabi?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was another observation I think we made, and I don't remember, Advocate, you reading it. This has got to do with PRASA. We made a reference to even outside of the metro rail. We have observed before and during that there is a problem with the functional manner in which the regional office of PRASA in so far as metro are functioning. That they don't have requisite power or functional devolved function, that the centralization of function to an extent that the regional manager are unable to take decision in fixing a broken train is a problem. It's what contributes to delayed train that are defective, they cannot be, because Pretoria must decide
OPRASA head office in Pretoria must decide when that, because everybody sits up there, that there should be a devolution of certain functions to the region. I didn't see that in your, that as clear as that in terms of the, in terms of the observation and recommendation. And the chair of the board was saying, now she was saying that they will make that decision at the end of October at their board meeting. The second part of also the observation on the vacancies of the board, it is recorded, but not as explicit, and I understand why not. But particularly on the where the boards are taking decisions which are unlawful. We did make a specific recommendation, which is a special resolution that is referenced in the document. But we did say that the minister or the executive should take an urgent step in rectifying that particular situation. That's where the 48 hours comes in. You are supposed to have reported in the last 48 hours what you do to rectify the illegalness, the illegal nature of that board. I don't know whether that has happened, but I think we should add it in terms of the... So it must be specific, because this one was dealing with, it was, I think, some support.
CBRTA.
So I think we must be specific around a particular action that is required and when they need to report on it.
Honorable members, I think when we were in a meeting last week on Wednesday, you were given the proposed letter that was supposed to go to the minister, which was supposed to be agreed to by the committee. And in the end, were so defeated and diminished that we couldn't agree to that letter. Can we make a note so that I can sign the letter and then it goes to the minister? You have a letter last week, Wednesday already. If you so agree, then I will sign the letter and then it goes to the minister.
Yep. Honorable Ramachaka.
Oh, no, Chair, I was speaking on the basis that we've seen the letter and we agree with the content of the letter. However, since there was no formality on that proposal, I want to move that we accept that letter and that accordingly sign the letter and let it go.
Thank you very much. I will so do. Honorable Siabi.
Thanks, Chair. I will support Honorable Ramatlakana that we agree with the contents of the letter. Generally, one is fine with the report and the structure in thereof. I just take it for granted that the report is still going to be gained for typos, whatever, and so on. But one wanted to make a recommendation, if it's possible, on consistency with the language we use. But also, when we talk of key positions, is it not possible just to be consistent if the CEO's position is vacant, just to say the accounting authority? Because somewhere we talk of the CEO, somewhere the head of entity, and so on. It might be confusing. Further, that when we talk of the vacancies, the time that a particular position has been vacant, is it not possible to be specific? Somewhere we're saying for 15 months, somewhere we're saying it has been vacant for an extended period of time, which might be confusing. If we can have, as my input, that if we can have that, be that specific.
But I have just two questions for clarity. On page 101, under PRASA, we're saying the group CEO appointment is aligned to the board and is therefore limited to 12 months. Is it correct that the group CEO is appointed for 12 months? Is it what I'm understanding? That the group CEO's appointment is aligned to the board, which means the board is appointed for 12 months, therefore the group CEO is appointed for 12 months. If that is the understanding, because one would then make a, it was not part of our discussions, one would then make a recommendation that this kind of an arrangement contributes to instability that we've been complaining about. And the last one for now, Chair, on page 129, page 125, consider oral English is not my first language. The reading of that paragraph, 845, to me is confusing. The department and entities should capacitate their finance and SCM departments with appropriately skilled and competent personnel to prepare credible financial statements. Furthermore, management should ensure that that information used to prepare financial statements are accurate and reliable. Staff should be retrained and reskilled to ensure that they comply with legislation. Therefore, in order to highlight the seriousness of this matter in a further effort to ensure that this is not a repeat finding again next year, the department and its entities must ensure that all officials responsible for reporting in terms of PFMA undergo training on compliance with PFMA as well as refresher training on the applicable National Treasury Regulation. To me, there is a lot of stuff that is a bit confusing. Whether we want staff to be trained, whether we want staff to be skilled, retrained, it's just confusing. I would propose, if it's still possible, that we just recraft it so that it can just be simple as to what it is that we are.
Thinking the leading members of this committee about the issue of Bergsman. That one is long overdue. I won't go into it. But it's also to highlight two or three issues. One issue, as part of our recommendation, I wanted to remind the chairperson to still remember when we visited Pretoria, those buses were the recommendation. Autopets. We had a recommendation, but to me it doesn't appear here in terms of our recommendations. I mean, I was checking the recommendations yesterday. Also, Chairperson, I was checking on page 108. No matter they are not specific, 8.1.1.5, non-toll road networks. Chairperson, if you can read this one paragraph, to straighten for that this budget, it has decreased, officially it's correct to decrease, but nevertheless, at the same time, there is a thing which is worrying me as follows. Chairperson, if you recall very well, when we started, there are areas where we have identified some of the infrastructures which they are supposed to be assisted by the national. I know that some are categorized under the provinces and the like, but in terms of what was triggered by COVID Maramatlakan in terms of distributions of regions, also I will include in terms of controlling our grants about the issue of the bridges which are not finished. When we visited Northwest, part of Northwest and part of Gauteng, I thought that we'll be having a recommendation also to include. If you check some of our debate speeches about the road in Umsinga, the bridge which is very small for one car going one direction, after a long time, they wait other people to move, which is very dangerous in that regard. I've thought that some of these things are going to be covered there, because we have achieved the goal of the issue of Moloto Road. If you recall very well, Moloto Road was started by us. We made a lot of noise about it, a lot of recommendation up until it was addressed. So even these two, the bridge in at Umsinga and those bridges in the former in the Northwest and Gauteng, nobody will come to rescue them up until we take something. I think this budget also can cover in that regard of Nantol roads. Let me check this out.
Thanks, Chair. What first comes to my mind, Chair, is the fact that during the presentation by the AG, I found that ourselves as the committee now, we were also an ODT there. There were no, even if there were no areas of concern, is it not good that it also reflects under what was said by the Auditor General with regards to entities and the department, even if there are no areas of concern? I think there was something that was said about the committee. And also, Chair, is it not possible that we have a recommendation that will put pressure to the President to sign that bill that gives powers to the Auditor General? Because for them to have teeth to bite, because they were saying they are just advising. There's nothing that they're doing. I discovered that there is a bill that is there which can give them power to. I'm not sure whether we're correct to put that in our recommendation. One of the members, Chair, said we are putting our recommendation in a softer manner, let me put it that way. But it's good to say so. We've been saying so. We must continue saying so, Chair. We may be soft, but we are not the implementers. Ours is to just to reflect in the report that we have observed this, we've been observing it, nothing has been done as a corrective measure. I was glad to see a point that said something about less of use of consultants. I'm not sure how it is written, but when the presenter was presenting, I had a clause that say that will result in the less use of consultants, and I'm happy about that. Chair, I am also thinking of a recommendation that can say something about stabilizing the entity, because there's instability there, and it will result in these findings that we get ourselves in now. How about putting a recommendation? I'm not sure now of the way we can do it, but trying to make a recommendation that will result in entities that are stabilized. Maybe having fully fledged boards, whatever, but a recommendation that will talk to that. What comes to my mind is the issue of ATNS, an entity that was performing so well in our first years. Now, where is that entity now? It's even difficult for it to appear in front of us. But it was performing so well then. That's why I'm saying we can have a recommendation that will result in, that will talk to stabilizing the entity. I think just that sure. Or also on the issue of investigations, where we are not getting any update. I think there is something that we must talk to with regards to that, because I don't think they are supposed to wait till we ask about these investigations and cases that are there. I think we must force them when they come or report quarterly. They must also talk to those things. We must want them to. They must not wait until we ask about them, those things. Thank you, Shimon.
Honorable Chair,
Honorable Sibanda,
is there a follow-up?
Okay. Chairperson, I think there was an omission. I wish I wanted to correct in terms of the bridges. They're referring to that one of AMC, I think that there is a progress. The bridge which is still remaining is the bridge between Enutu and Umzinyati. Thank you.
Okay,
Sondela, I'm saying
No,
Chair, I wanted just to say that I think the question was raised and hasn't been responded to about the Group CEO acting. And just to confirm that Group CEO acting and the interim board, it's 1 year term, they've got 1 year term.
Yes.
Because of the interimness of it.
Both interviews.
So they were asked that he was appointed for a year. After the year, the minister will then advertise and appoint a group CEO for a period that will be stipulated in the advert, as well as this board. But the point I wanted just to make that I think that I actually like this tautology. Tautology, I like it because I like this paragraph because it's interchangeably dealing with the question of training, retraining, reskilling. I like the way it's written because it's a catch-all. It's protect, including the. Those that are not able, that we can't retrain or reskill, let's obviously put them aside, but we've got to go through a process. So I actually like the capturing of it. I wanted to say, Chair, that we can't bring in that issue we didn't discuss, that issue about the bill that empowers the AG to have the teeth. So we can't include it as part of our recommendation because we did not hear it and we did not fall here under us. I don't want to go beyond that to say that there may well be some challenges with it anyway, because we've got the separation of function in chapter 9, and also there's some encroachment of functional area. I think that we may find out the bill is returned by the president based on that, because the chapter 9 can open a case. AG can't go to the police and say, I'm opening a case of investigation now, and now we must investigate, and then AG becomes the complaining authority and then becomes a witness. There's a whole lot of gray area in that, but anyway, that's not a discussion. All I wanted to I wanted to make a formal proposal that we thank the secretariat and the secretary, the advocate, the doctor here, that they did a good job on this report. That with the addition that we have since suggested that we accept this report with those amendments, and they go up, they go and fix it, and then we come back for formal adoption. So that's my proposal.
Before we accept the proposal, I've seen two hands. Honorable Shelembe and Honorable Sithole. But I would also, and Honorable Siabi, but I would also request the advocate to respond to some issues which have been raised. I see you, Mr. Diwakwan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Anyway, I was going to say, yeah, second one of them, but before I second him, see, on page 126, under 8.0.4.2, under committee recommendations, I'm trying to understand and get the possibility of the committee undertook to make a special resolution in the meeting of 17 October 2018 to request specific and immediate action within 48 hours from the ministry regarding the filling of the CBRTA board vacancies that are within the ambit of the ministry. I'm trying to see the possibility of that within 48 hours. Is it exactly what the committee requested?
Yes, sir. We requested that in a meeting, and we were supposed, that was on Tuesday, and on Wednesday we were supposed to agree to the proposed letter that should go to the minister, and that is the letter that I have just said. Honorable members have read the letter, and we couldn't agree to the letter because you in particular, when we left a townhouse, you disappeared.
I'm listening to you. You went award.
So, now that the letter has been so agreed to, I will sign it for the for the attention of the minister. Honorable Sitor.
No, thank you, Chair. I was just seconding Michelle.
Okay. Let me allow Dibakwan. Was there an issue that you wanted to raise? Think that though Jim Sanganwini and expect me to be patient with you.
Thanks, Chair, and good afternoon, members. On page 78, there's a reference of a new directorate for oversight. In fact, we have directorates for oversight, which are scattered in the branches, but the context here should rather be the establishment of a branch, not a directorate. And on page 101, the vacant posts for DTGs are only 5, not 6. And I suppose the point raised earlier on by Honorable Siabi would also be resolved by making reference to the interim group CEO and the interim board. Thanks.
Thank you. Advocate, before we adopt the report.
Chair, I just want to get that last page number that you referred to about the DDGs.
Page 101.
That is the figures that the AGSA provided. It's not what the committee made up. So I'm not sure if you want us to change the content of the AGSA's order, document.
Well, it's up to you, but the reality within us is that we've got 5 DDG posts that are vacant.
We cannot change what the AG has presented to us. These are the recommendations which actually emanates from the AG's report. Advocate, if you can continue.
Mr. Hunsinger, just to get back, we just had a look, and the BRRR has not been a process that's been that long ongoing. And I almost want to say we reference back to everything because I'm here. When I came in 2015, I didn't see a lot of cross-referencing and going back to numbers and back to previous years. So we suggested it when we did our second BRRR, when I did my first one with the committee. And we've just taken it up from there and we've continued the trend. It does add a bit to the pages, but it shows that the committee does consider everything so that when the AG does our audit, then we can at least show we did look and give cognizance to everything. On the lining up and aligning with the previous portfolio committee, we will hopefully be able to do that when we do our legacy report. The committee will hopefully look at that within the next 2 weeks to give us an idea on how we are going to do the compilation of that, because the previous committee's legacy report was there for the members to start off with. That was before I came in. On the challenges regarding the learners, Mr. Sitole, the department does have projects on it, and we do list the projects. It's indicated on pages 20 to 21. They also have a rural access project that they are running. But unfortunately, because it is within education and we've raised it so many times before, what I would suggest we can do is to add on page 107, where we ask the department from 106 to work with sister departments in order to ensure that they function optimally. I just made a note that we can add the concerns regarding scholar transport and that they work with the Department of Education along the lines of trying to alleviate that as an observation of the committee, so that we can address your concern on that one. Regarding the Werksmans contract members, it is a tricky point, but it's a point taken. We try to refer to it as broadly as possible by linking it to the investigations. You'll see there on our table where we give them specific time frames within which to report. On page 132, we have actually two sections, where the one says that the department should submit quarterly reports on investigations underway, and then the one just after the job creation one, the department should submit quarterly reports on pending litigation. Because the Werksmans issue is it's a double-edged sword, if you want to put it that way. As they explained, they've spent a certain amount of money for them during the investigation phase, and that amount has doubled by the time that they've now in the implementation and the litigation phase, but they didn't give us a lot of clarity on that. So where we get to the investigation discussion, that's 7.9, I did make a note to add a paragraph on the discussion points for that month, just to highlight the committee's concerns. I'm just wary of saying that it may have been an observation that in the committee's opinion, the contract was not concluded validly, but only a court will be able to say that that contract is invalid and it must be cancelled and ceased. We have to be careful with our wording so that we don't extend over our powers and scope that we have. But I am going to include a paragraph under 7.9 with the investigations regarding management. Because we've tried to refer on investigations and litigation so that we can also incorporate any other firms that come in at a later point, as Jefferson pointed out. I think the other firm is Huntley. But we don't even have all those documents yet. We have the Vaxmas report that they submitted at an earlier point in time, but we don't have the contract and the concluding issues. We're still waiting for some of the responses from last week where the entities and the department said 48 hours. We also don't have those. Regarding the, Mr. Mpanza, the appreciation clause, if I can put it that way, we did it very general to acknowledge the department and its entities, but we can be specific to give a special thanks to the Minister and the Deputy Minister for their continued support and attendance. So we will make sure that that is added in there. Chair, just regarding the reduction for the train sets for PRASA, we did cover that in page 88. So we did speak to the reduction in revenue, we did speak to the reduction in the train sets. Unless, if the committee would like, we can do a specific one. We used to have one where they have to report on the modernization project. So we can just broaden out that recommendation that we had there, similar to what we're putting in for the CBRTA to respond to the South Africa and Lesotho corridor issue. We can just re-add that. The modernization and the refurbishments and those issues. So we will add PRASA there. The other issues we'll work it in where I noted on the CBRTA, the boards. We do have a general various references that the boards must be capacitated, the functionaries must be capacitated, the boards must be filled. We have various points where the AG pointed out specifically which entities have board issues. So we will just make sure that it correlates back to the 8.4 bunch where we do our recommendations. On the language consistency, Mr. Siabi, we'll make sure that we use the right referencing. We either use CFO or we use accounting officer or executing authority wherever it's applicable. It's also, in most instances where there's reference to the CFO, CEO, or the chief procurement officer, those were also taken from the AG's report. So that would have been a word-for-word reference from the AG's report. Mr. Ramaklakana explained the interim appointment issue, that line also comes from the AG's report, and that is the current situation with what they're referring to as the interim group CEO. He is only there for 12 months with the board unless he gets reappointed and he fills the permanent position. But we did note the instability in the boards, linking it back to what the AG said as being a cause of concern and a reason why the audit findings is dropping in such a manner. But we'll make sure that it is strengthened in the committee's recommendation. Mr. Sibande, the 8.1.1.5 reference, that is directly from our budget vote report. So we've already noted that it's not that we can now change the budget. That's what the committee's already stated. Also, my concern is just if we refer back to the oversight that the committee did in 2014-15 outside of the scope of this report. Unless it's one of the projects that's still ongoing, the Maloto Road Corridor is still a project that's ongoing. We also have recommendations that are done specifically linked to the oversight report, so there's already recommendations existing to address those issues. But we can add in our cycle where we give them time frames that they must report back on the recommendations made by the committee during oversight reports. So we'll add that should cover that concern. The stabilization of the entities, Mokeko, is 8.4.1, 8.4.3, 8.4.13. We have it in three different recommendations. So there's various recommendations. We just don't have it under one heading. So those three recommendations serve to assist the departments with stabilizing. But we'll make sure perhaps we can put it under one umbrella and have it covered as an entity. Thank you, Chair, for the committees for the input. As we indicated, we tried to draft as extensive as possible recommendations so that we can get, because we have very limited time frame for the committee to sit, and we always appreciate a committee that works well and comes up with enough recommendations during the hearing so that we don't have to think too hard. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Siyabi, did we say anything about bus rapid transport? It's, yeah. What page is that? Honorable Siyabi?
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'm fine with most of the things. But what I want to emphasize is that in the report, if it's an interim CEO, let it be so. Because in the report it's not written interim CEO. So to the reader there, and even the board is not written interim board. So to the reader out there, that's why I made that point, if the CEO is appointed for 12 months, then it contributes to instability. But also on the 8.4.5, I'm not going to get into the ring with Honorable Ramathagan. But I'm putting myself as an implementer. If you give me such a recommendation, I don't know what it is that I'm going to implement. But we can, for now, we can deal with it. I don't have a problem. And lastly, Chair, I want to second Honorable Ramathagana that we adopt the report.
Honorable Shelembe seconded Honorable Ramathagana. Honorable Sithole seconded Honorable Ramathagana. You are now forcing Honorable Ramathagana. The report is so adopted with the amendments, but we need to indicate, will the report be ready probably by tomorrow, or can we start with it on Tuesday, when we deal with the back to Arabs bill?
Those amendments will first circulate to the committee. If members are okay with everything that's been covered, the report will be ATC for the consideration of the National Assembly. So then there will be no more discussion on the report until we get to the House when the report is on the website.
Can we agree with the procedure as proposed that the report with the amendments, can you highlight the amendments that have been in another color so that honorable members can be able to see if those have been included, what we are proposing have been included, but maybe thinking on my feet, we may want to bold certain things that actually have been a pain to the portfolio committee, which the department is not really upbeat about implementing those things. On that note, thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. Sizobonana, are we meeting tomorrow? Hola.
Thank you so much.